Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 71 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Our main story? U.S. prisons have been among the places hardest hit by COVID-19. It's hard to implement strict social distancing when you're forced into small, shared living quarters. Advocates for prisoners say prison administrators aren't doing enough to protect prison inmates and staff, and calls to release large numbers of nonviolent offenders are mounting. But first, here's what happened today. More than 76 million Americans put off getting medical care they needed in the past month, according to new U.S. Census data. During the pandemic, the census estimates that more than one-third of the adult population delayed care. The virus is indirectly affecting our health in other ways, too. The new survey also found high rates of mental health problems, including reported symptoms of anxiety in more than 40% of the population. Health experts and medical providers are increasingly concerned about the long-term consequences of the shutdowns. The U.S. is pledging as much as $1.2 billion to AstraZeneca to help make the University of Oxford's COVID vaccine. President Donald Trump, who has been widely criticized for his response to the pandemic, is pushing the country toward the front of the line for immunizations. The U.S. has also backed projects at Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and Francis Sanofi, fueling concerns that other countries could fall behind. Finally, yet another grim milestone. Coronavirus cases globally have reached 5 million. Over the past month, the number of infections worldwide has doubled. The U.S. accounts for almost a third of the cases, five times the number seen by Russia, the number two country on the list. Experts believe the actual count is higher than the official numbers, as COVID-19 has proven difficult to detect and track. And now, our main story. Calls continue to mount for the release of inmates at risk of COVID-19 infection, as cases rise at correctional facilities across the country. So far, 70% of inmates have tested positive for the coronavirus, according to the Bureau of Prisons. Oakdale Federal Correctional Complex, a low-security prison about 200 miles west of New Orleans, is one of the federal prisons hardest hit by the coronavirus pandemic. Jordan Gaspure has more on what is being done to combat the spread of the disease in the prison population.
On March 26th, 49-year-old Anthony Cheek became the first known federal inmate in the United States to die from COVID-19. He was 18 years into a 20-year sentence for aggravated child molestation at Lee State Prison in Georgia. Since Anthony's death, 56 federal inmates at around 135 correctional facilities across the country have died after contracting the coronavirus, and thousands more have become infected. The rapid spread of the coronavirus in U.S. correctional facilities has exposed the risks of overcrowding, lack of access to hygiene, and poor health care. The number of coronavirus infections in the country's prisons and jails is rising at a rate far surpassing the U.S. population at large. In April, Attorney General William Barr directed federal prison officials to speed the release of inmates at risk of contracting COVID-19. This directive, under the CARES Act, was aimed at addressing coronavirus outbreaks in correctional facilities across the country. Barr directed the Bureau of Prisons to speed up transfers to home confinement for eligible inmates at three federal institutions hit hardest by the disease: Danbury in Connecticut, Elkton in Ohio, and Oakdale in Louisiana. To qualify, inmates must have completed at least half of their sentence to be eligible for home confinement. This doesn't mean an inmate's sentence is nullified or their convictions are expunged. Home confinement is merely the transfer of an inmate from inside a correctional facility to their house or that of a family member. Advocates argue that Barr's order doesn't go far enough. On April 6th, the ACLU filed a lawsuit in the hopes that at least inmates from the federal correctional complex in Oakdale, Louisiana, who are at a higher risk of contracting the coronavirus, will be allowed to complete their sentence at home. Oakdale has seen one of the worst COVID-19 outbreaks of any correctional facility in the country. Judge Terry Doughty of the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Louisiana dismissed the case, saying he did not have the authority to mandate releases or home confinement. Despite the judge's ruling, the ACLU is still encouraging the Bureau of Prisons to move forward with releases from Oakdale amid the pandemic. There's a nationwide movement to release large numbers of prisoners. Sumil Trivedi, a senior staff attorney with the ACLU, says critical reforms were needed before the spread of the coronavirus, but are now more urgent than ever. As of 2016, more than 2 million people were incarcerated in the U.S., the most out of any country in the world. The ACLU is one of numerous organizations putting pressure on prosecutors and law enforcement to reduce jail and prison populations by not arresting people for low-level offenses. They estimate that these efforts would save 59,000 lives. At Oakdale, no inmates have been placed in home confinement in response to Barr's memo. Some inmates, who were already scheduled to go home before the pandemic, are still waiting to be transferred. So far, 8 inmates at Oakdale have died from the coronavirus. A Bureau of Prison spokesperson says that since the release of Barr's memo on March 26th, it has placed an additional 1,576 inmates from across the country on home confinement to date. I spoke with Sumil Trivedi, who says inmates and their loved ones have been receiving conflicting reports from Barr and the Bureau of Prisons, which is responsible for 146,000 inmates spread across 122 facilities nationwide.
Success is more than the final destination. It's a path you take one step at a time. It's discipline. It's teamwork. And it's the drive and passion inside of us that comes before all recognition. It's what Stifel's been doing for over 130 years. Quietly, yet strategically, Stifel's become one of the fastest growing wealth management and investment banking firms in the country. Our financial advisors go beyond traditional wealth management to provide clients with direct access to one of the industry's largest equity research franchises and a leading middle market investment bank. Because success is the drive it takes to keep climbing, the passion to keep investing, the best of each of us made better by the best in all of us. And that is where success meets success. Start your journey at Stifel.com. That's Stifel.com.
Stifel Nicholas and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
The Bureau of Prisons and up to the Attorney General have been releasing sort of changing sets of criteria. But unfortunately, most of those criteria are based on essentially fear-mongering, that they're going to look at your past history. They're going to look at these risk assessment algorithms to decide whether you might be potentially dangerous when you're out in the world. what happens in the jail or prison cannot stay in a jail or prison, right? You have prisoners coming in and out. You have guards coming in and out. It's impossible to hermetically seal a jail and just hope that if folks inside get COVID, it won't get out to the larger community.
Initially, inmates who are more at risk of contracting the coronavirus, like those who are older or have underlying medical conditions, were put on a list and moved into solitary confinement, known in prisons as the SHU, in advance of the release home. It didn't matter how much of their prison term they had served. The ACLU wants to increase the use of home confinement in an effort to reduce the inmate population and help prevent the spread of COVID-19. Samil says Barr's order doesn't establish concrete timelines and guidelines for facilities to release at-risk inmates. Another problem with the order is that it uses criteria from before the pandemic, like prioritizing inmates in low and minimum security facilities, to decide whether or not they can serve the remainder of their sentence at home. By using this criteria, Samil says the Bureau of Prisons is only going to review about 80 to 100 inmates.
I mean, public health experts roundly agree that we need to significantly reduce the population inside so that the folks remaining can socially distance, right? So in a prison of 1,800 people, releasing at most 100, and we're not even sure whether they're going to release all of those people. But even if they released everybody they were reviewing, that would do nothing to increase social distancing or allow for the kind of hygienic protocols that we know are necessary and that we're all following out here.
The Bureau of Prisons, which declined an interview request, says it began preparing for the coronavirus outbreak in January. But those who have been at Oakdale tell another story. Brandon Levis was an inmate at Oakdale, serving a 15-month sentence for bank larceny, a first-time nonviolent offense. He's scheduled to complete his sentence on September 29th. He's one of the inmates who sued the prison with the ACLU in hopes of being able to serve the remainder of his sentence at home. Although the lawsuit was unsuccessful, Brandon was granted a furlough and transferred to home confinement on May 11th. He's now living with his girlfriend, Arshawn Thompson, in New Orleans. They'll be together until he's moved into a halfway house on July 6th. Brandon is one of the lucky ones. Only a few inmates at Oakdale have been approved for early release. Last month, the Louisiana Department of Corrections created a COVID-19 furlough review panel to speed up the temporary release of inmates at risk of contracting the disease and others convicted of nonviolent offenses. The COVID-19 furlough review panel will review cases on a rolling case-by-case basis until the state's governor determines the coronavirus is no longer a public health emergency. Still, it's hard to know the reasons some inmates are furloughed and others are not. There's no public data on this. So, Brandon can only assume he was released from Oakdale because he was imprisoned on a nonviolent offense and suffers from diabetes and acute pancreatitis, making him predisposed to respiratory illnesses. It's difficult to get accurate information on what's going on inside the prison system as it is, let alone during a pandemic. But in emails Brandon sent while he was still incarcerated, he described a crisis that seems to be getting worse by the day. Brandon says, although Oakdale inmates have access to soap and water, there are no other supplies to sanitize their dorms. Alcohol-based hand sanitizer is illegal in most correctional facilities, including Oakdale, because, according to the Bureau of Prisons, it is flammable and a safety hazard. But during the pandemic, the CDC recommended that correctional facilities relax restrictions on hand sanitizer. Louisiana is among the 17 states that are maintaining their bans on alcohol-based hand sanitizer. Scott Taylor with the Bureau of Prisons says Oakdale is selling non-alcohol hand sanitizer in the commissary. This goes against the CDC's recommendation of using sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol by volume. Though the Bureau of Prisons has said inmates at all of their facilities, including Oakdale, are now being quarantined and kept apart, Arjan, Brandon's girlfriend, says that's not what Brandon described when he was in prison, or what he says his fellow inmates are experiencing now.
They're super close together. And I mean, they've now had to, which they've done everywhere. They've closed the weight room. They've closed the rooms where there are places for them to go and be a little bit further apart from each other. And they posted signs saying, stay 6 feet apart, but they can't stay 6 feet apart if their beds aren't even 6 feet apart. So I just don't see how any of the protocol that they can put in place would be effective in any way.
Scott Taylor, a Bureau of Prison spokesperson, wrote in an email saying that in response to the coronavirus, inmates at all correctional facilities are limited in their movements within the buildings, and only small numbers can gather in communal spaces at a time. Taylor added that those showing signs of the virus are not placed on any work details or work assignments. Samil Trivedi says that hasn't been enough, at least not at Oakdale.
We have declarations from some of the men inside saying they hear people coughing all night. It is impossible to physically, socially distance inside a prison, and that's why now the only thing that will work is transfer to home confinement and reducing the population.
Staff at Oakdale and other facilities reported they initially were only given gloves. After the rise in COVID-19 cases, the Bureau of Prisons also sent face masks to inmates and staff and gowns for employees to wear. Coming to work now also involves a health assessment and temperature reading by medical staff. There are reports from inmates, the ACLU, and the American Federation of Government Employees, which represents federal correctional officers, of prison and jail staff quitting due to fears of COVID-19 infection. Samil says Oakdale expanded testing for the coronavirus last week, revealing dozens of new cases, according to some of the facility's inmates. Even if the Bureau of Prisons increases the number of staff and tries to isolate inmates on site, some advocates believe it's too little, too late.
That was Jordan Gaspure. And that's our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Jordan Gaspure, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by Jordan Gaspure. Original music by Leo Sidran. Our editors are Francesca Levy and Rick Schein. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.